It's rich, it's alive, it's vivid. Stereophonic sound.
Are you fed up with constantly searching for the records you want?
Fame, fortune, platinum records. It's every boy's dream.
Every one of my records means something. The label, the producer, the year it was made.
I'm teaching you about rock music.
Seriously, you're totally elitist. You feel like the unappreciated scholars.
Okay, let's spin a disc.
Howdy, hi, and welcome. I am Audionaut Eric Carlson, and this is episode 4 of Cut by Cut, a weekly show slicing up records one track at a time and exploring all the nooks and crannies. With me is my co-pilot, Audionaut Chris Buck St. Sauveur.
What is up?
And this week we are discussing Vampyra. That's right, the Misfits classic from Walk Among Us. And so here we are. I wanted to be more dramatic with that and really start with this bad boy next. But my skills on the ones and twos weren't good enough.
You're not ambidextrous enough.
Greetings, my friend. We are all interested in the future, for that is where you and I are going to spend the rest of our lives. And remember, my friend, future events such as these will affect you in the future. You are interested in the unknown, the mysterious, the unexplainable. That is why you are here. And now, for the first time, we are bringing to you the full story of what happened on that fateful day.
So,
in the future.
In the future. I love, that's the opening, for those of you who don't know. For Plan 9 from Outer Space, the Ed Wood classic.
Magnum opus.
I think this is the gold standard for which every bad film attempts to be. So every time, you know, you'll see all these other films pop up and they're always like, this is the worst film ever made. I think it's pretty much unanimous that Plan 9 is the worst film ever made.
Smarter movie critics than us have deemed it literally the worst movie of all time.
But there is, and there are, a few gems. One of them is this amazing opening, in which he says a sentence and then immediately says, remember. You know, okay, I get your dire warning. Is it about the future? I'm kind of confused.
The future events that happen in the future?
That's typically where they happen. There were a few events that happened in the past that were future events, but then they immediately became the past.
Right. When did they happen?
Right. But if all time is cyclical, goes around in circles.
Are we going to go all string theory on this?
Well, what is string theory?
Well, just this idea that how time, you know, how two things are related.
Right.
So I'm doing something. I'm waving my hands here.
Yeah, you're making little rabbits.
If you're putting the thumb tacks on the timeline,
okay,
how they all link together, and then also tied in there, it's all metaphysical stuff here, but you know, from any point where we make a decision.
Yep. And all the decisions that branch off.
You know, the infinite universes that are spawned from the instantaneous decision we make or not.
Perfect. And so one decision was made was to make Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Yes.
The ramifications of those decisions, bear with me on this. I know you want to say something. Bear with me on this. One of the ramifications of this was the inspiration on a young Glenn Danzig, which, again, I am pitching as a children's cartoon, Little Misfits.
Little Misfits.
And we follow them around in elementary school.
Maybe we can get Scotty Young to do the variant cover.
I would lose my freaking mind. Are you kidding me? You have no idea how much I would explode. So the song is Vampyra.
Yeah.
Young Glenn Danzig, inspired by the wasp-waisted mistress of the dark. That's Elvira's thing, but you know what I mean.
We'll get there with Elvira too, yeah.
All right, so do you want to start us off?
Well, so in terms of the song itself, as far as Walk Among Us goes, it's song number 5.
4. All you have to do is follow the episode numbers,
I'm trying to remember, and
it'll tell you what track we're on.
That version of the track comes in at a whopping minute 26. I don't know if you have anything. You've hit us with factoids about time-related things.
Yeah, we've gone back a little to the shorter, obviously, more concise tunes.
Yep.
It is the first song also that's not about a movie, but about a character in the movie.
Sure, yeah.
Or at least the host, who a B movie actress, she became a hostess.
I believe she was a hostess first. Her rise to stardom. What her name is?
Oh, this is a good one. Yeah, can you? Is it male?
I have to go.
M-A-I-L-A.
Yeah.
Mala Nurmi.
I don't have the Finnish accent, right, so I don't know how to say it right. But yes,
I was gonna. Today's fact was going to be a quiz on how to pronounce her last name, but I feared that each one was going to be such a butchering that there's going to be somebody listening to the show who knows exactly how to say it.
Right, and we'll be insulting them.
Who will probably be driving up to my house with a large sign like, here it is phonetically, you idiot.
Just take your mailing address off the, you know, the end of the episode there.
Hey, that reminds me. Cut by cut, cutxcutpodcast@gmail.com. Good.
Send us your love and hate mail.
So
Mala Nurmi, which is how I say it.
Wait, how do you say it?
Mila.
I like Mila. Let's go with Mila.
All right. Nurmi. She was cast. I forget how exactly how she was, who found her where, but she was cast on site because she was wearing a black dress and had the black hair and, you know, kind of as a gothic looking beauty. And
I believe her measurements were 38, 18, 36.
I always imagine she had some kind of cinch or.
Oh no, she definitely did. She had. It was a trend. There was corset training. It was called the micro waist. So these women would wear corsets and then just pull them closer and closer. And as a result, it would actually alter not only the rib cages, but it would move internal organs just to get that kind of particular, you know, hourglass figure. But it was, you know, I would imagine that would be something invented by a guy.
I don't know. So everything I found indicated that she had some hand in the development of this character.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a fan of Morticia Addams from the cartoons they used to publish.
Right, right.
So I think that's how she's drawn.
Right.
Right.
So Betty Brosmer was the founder of this, by the way. She was also the founder of Shape Magazine, but she was the founder of the corset training.
Okay.
So I just took all of the mystery and guesswork out of it for you.
Boom.
Yeah.
So Miss Nurmi was a fan of the Morticia Addams mm-hmm. look, except she wanted to, in order to avoid whatever kind of infringement it is, copyright or trademark or whatever, she went the more voluptuous route,
like, yes.
You know, for the, you know, instead of because Morticia Addams is more kind of flat.
Is that she's the right streamlined. Word?
Streamlined.
She's built for speed.
Yes. There you go. So yeah. So the different cut of the character. So anyway, Vampyra appeared as a she would when a new medium was being introduced to the American public called television. Someone came up with the
idea. I think I've heard of it, but I do believe it's just a trend.
Yeah, it might. I don't. I think it's got legs.
Yeah, all right. We'll argue about that later. So she's on this thing called television.
Yeah, and they decide to basically, with this new vehicle, this new medium, present to people all these wonderful kind of horror movies that no one, you know, you would have to go find them in some.
Well, it was cheap television too, right? Because none of the stuff, the rights for it, were easily to procure, and some of it had just fallen out of copyright, so it was just something you could throw on to take up space.
Yeah, and it was in, you know, it was in those, they were all, a lot of them were 40s and 50s era movies that,
yeah.
You know.
Them.
Whoever they are, I don't think Hollywood was the machine it is these days, you know, so she would appear kind of coming down a cobweb-laden hallway and kind of greet the viewers and then introduce the movie and then actually make fun of the movie kind of with puns and some camp in between commercials and whatnot. So,
oh, seriously?
Yeah. So it was,
I didn't watch any of the old footage.
I believe she's the, so they called her a glamour ghoul, but this was the first thing like this. I mean,
yeah, she was the first TV horror host. Yeah. That was like her official nom de plume or her official title.
So she would introduce and then mock the movies as they went along as she lounged kind of in a chair and talked to her pet spider. So
that's amazing. And it's very Ed Gorey, very Adams kind of family stuff.
Yeah.
I think about how lucky some people were. Like, that's cool. To watch Vampyra was amazing.
Yeah.
In Rhode Island, we had Creature Double Feature. Yep. And we had a slightly overweight man in a V-neck sweater who would offer up stupid-ass trivia. And I think, like, some of these people had, like, you know, guys dressed up as Dracula, and he'd rise out of a coffin and be like, you know, welcome to the film. We had, like, my name is Gus. And
The crumbs on his sweater.
You're going to be watching beard. Squirm this afternoon on the Creature. Ooh, double feature. Man, he wasn't Gus. I forget his name. But he really looked like, he looked like your uncle. Not your uncle, but he looked like the kind of uncle who, like, just kept you on his lap just a touch too long.
That pat on the rear. That.
Yeah, he was like a strange looking man. He was way too, I don't know, weirdly formal for the job at hand.
My introduction to the genre, if you will, was Joe Bob Briggs, and I forgot now what the hell they call the show.
Oh, that was like the Trailer Park one, right? Yeah.
Trailer Park at Heart. Yeah, whatever. So that was kind of my... But I, again, as I did some of the research here to learn about Vampyra, my kind of the esteem I held Joe Bob Briggs at, because to me he was this witty, he kind of had a Norm Macdonald sense of humor,
right? Yep.
You know, dry, witty delivery, and you know, Andy's sitting in a, he's sitting in a lawn chair drinking beer out of a koozie and wearing a trucker hat as he talks.
Nothing should be called a koozie, really, just flat out.
It's a thing.
Yeah, it is.
I didn't name it.
No, but somebody did. Somebody in a design room somewhere was like, what do we call this stuff? Let's call it the beer cooler. Let's call it the hand holder. Let's call it the sweat eliminator. Let's call it the koozie.
The koozie.
You got it, Jim. You nailed it. So what else you got on her? Because there's the one thing I do want to talk about is, I think, her relation to other actors in the field.
Sure,
and
we probably
like
should
that.
Talk about the song a little too, but
let's speed this along in terms of Vampyra stuff.
So the show, I don't have the reasoning, couldn't find out why, but the show at some point was abruptly canceled. That's kind of what I had seen. So she went on to do other things in real life. I guess she was quite a handy woman. And she, at one point in her career, post Plan 9 from Outer Space, you know, they didn't.
There was a lot of that because she lived till 2008.
Plenty of time to learn how to do things like install linoleum flooring and also do carpentry and things like that. She could, while she was there, you know, fix your kitchen cabinets. So
that's
very handy
amazing.
Woman. You know, had that strong, you know, Viking kind of female.
Would you say that she would like to finish
what
she started?
I was waiting for the pun. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so that was it. I mean, after Plan, so someone had seen her and they thought of her character specifically. Well, I don't know if it was Ed Wood or someone close to him or whatever, but basically, this was made. Plan 9 was made for her not for her, but
and so
she inspired.
Inspired a lot of various other things.
I mean, I don't know how deep Ed Wood was going. I feel sometimes like he'd be like, "I need a character, a sexy vampire." Oh, good.
Well, I think, you know, if you have a woman who is willing to play that, for me, a lot of Hollywood movies, and I'm talking contemporary ones at least, are ruined by the actors not wanting to wear prosthetics, not wanting to leave a helmet on, obviously the low-hanging fruit of dread, but there's been other things as well where, you know, you watch Spider-Man, and the mask always has to come off. You know, they don't, it always gets torn so to reveal, and that's not essential to the plot, it's essential to remind us that there's an actor in there.
Yeah.
And I think, like,
for the egos involved.
Right, and there's not a lot of people like Vampyra or Charlize Theron who, you know, puts on the whole monster makeup for the movie Monster.
Well, I think of the Hollywood machine, you know, and the egos that they kind of raise up here, and it likens me to...
I like this. This is the episode where we take pot shots at Hollywood.
Well, I mean, whatever.
Take that.
I got no shot.
We're going to bring it right to its knees.
We're going to
topple the empire.
Yeah.
So
real quick. So it makes me think of, you know, to the point of no credit for being playing a character, a monster, or some kind of costumed character. I think of all the culturally, I think of like all the monster movies, like the Godzilla and all the Godzilla monsters, and just the things that you've seen about the guy, the people who were in those costumes just for all kinds of hours, just stripping sweat and the horrors of, and not, you know, you have to be a fan. Well, first of all, it takes a special person to be a fan of those movies anyway, but to actually care who the person is.
Well, and that's like, you know, that's the job.
You probably know who was in the Godzilla costume.
The job,
right?
The job, I do, yeah. The job is to give that character life.
Yeah.
So each of the various Godzillas, at least, you know, though their actors came at it with very different, you know, personalities. Or like Robert Englund, who did Freddy. Yes.
Yeah.
And the amount of charisma that oozes from that. The different Jasons. And I think that, if anything,
Jason's
you have to act harder to get beyond that.
Yeah.
Even with all the mocap stuff coming out now and like Gollum and whatnot. But she was rumored to be friends with James Dean.
Yeah.
And here's what I want to use as the transfer to talking about the actual song, which is the rumor was that they were an item. They were buddies. They hung out. They were supposed to be very platonic, I guess.
Yeah, her quote was they're the same kind of damaged or something like that. Like they have the same kind of basically issues.
Yeah. And Hollywood, you know, nobody ever talked about that stuff in the 50s, you know. So I will say, and this will be our leap into the song itself, she was referred to as James Dean's Black Widow.
Yeah.
And right there is, for free, the name of somebody's metal band,
yeah, sure,
somebody's album, or the next Danzig song. Because how could you not use James Dean's Black Widow? I guess it's a little hard to say. But it's such an amazing, like, that's a great title. That's like, you know, admirable. You need a badge for
that
or something.
And then add in the whole, towards, at some point, I don't know if someone's, he wasn't the right kind of person, people, his handlers wanted him around or something.
Oh, God,
like that.
No. I can't imagine them being okay with that.
They'd be caught getting coffee together, you know, just talking about their depressions or whatever,
right,
you know, and he basically had to whatever the word is, you basically
but also
deny that she was her.
If you've got a guy who's depressed, you know, and again, probably doing some psychological help, but 50s version of it, which isn't great by any stretch of the imagination, you probably don't want them hanging out with other people who are going to feed into and off of that energy. I don't know. That's a deep, dark well that I don't want to go into because I'm not a psychologist. I can't even say the word.
Well, everyone needs someone to talk to, and I just think about the fact that they had clearly found each other out of some commonality.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
For it to be kind of like whoever's side of things shunned, you know.
Yep. No, I definitely that. But we're running low on time, so let's hit the song.
Yeah.
Would you? What do you want to do with the song? What do you want to? Is there anything you want to say about it right off the bat?
No.
Well done.
The song, it's one of my favorites off this album.
Okay, so what would you rate it? How many black gowns would you give it?
I'll go 8 out of 10.
Really?
Yeah, I guess I'm being a generous grader, but
this is the one that we're not agreeing on.
I like it because, I'll tell you why. I like it because it's breaking his mold so far from how this album has gone.
It is a love song.
You know?
I mean, I would say, and part of what I didn't like about it was that it's a juvenile love song. It's the kind of song that...
Yeah, take off the dress and come on over, get a little bit closer, right?
Right, it's that kind of like hetero boy in the bushes, like, you know, luring her to bed. And that's not, to me, the character of Vampire. Vampire is the one who lures you. She's the widow in the web, you know?
Yeah, sure.
And for Danzig to be like, I'm laying in bed half naked and you're going to come to me, that's not how she works.
Well, probably so, but maybe he's got the ego to think maybe she would for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's true.
It's also the first indication, unless I'm going to misspeak here, that out of any of these songs that he wants to do anything like romantically, even slightly romantic with anybody, as opposed to...
So you're giving him huge cred for like changing his sheets and inviting her over.
Yeah, you know,
making
like
a nice dinner, maybe.
Like at least pretending he doesn't want to rape and maim and kill, you know? maybe upping the creep factor a little bit.
Yeah. This is not a song about violence. This is a song about vampira.
Yeah.
Lens. I love the line where he talks about pulmonary trembles in your outstretched arm, but pulmonary relates to the lungs. So I'm not sure what's happening here. And that's where I want to go back to the wasp wastedness, okay, where I think that he's actually, and this is what I think, Glenn Danzig, literary genius, also Dr. Glenn Danzig. Because pulmonary trembling, I think that she's so out of breath, she's so amazed at what she sees before her as Glenn Danzig laying in bed with clean black sheets. You know, he's picked up all his monster magazines, he's thumbtacked everything straight, his room's looking real good, mom's out for the afternoon, he's got it all figured out, you know. But he's actually referring to the fact that she's got issues. Her lungs are trembling, not necessarily because she's outstretched her arms, not because he's such a, you know, powerhouse man, but he actually has concern over her ability to breathe outside of this corset. So come a little bit closer. You know, you don't have to walk that far. That's how I figured out this song. That's what I'm taking from this song.
I'll give that to you. I give you the credit you're giving him.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And you're trying hard.
I'm really trying to work this theory in there. So there's a couple great covers. This isn't a song that's covered by a ton of different bands. I had to work real hard to find this, and you found twice as many as I did.
Well, I got lucky in that there's some new hotness coming down the line, and that's kind of, that'll be my choice.
That's the one we're going to play out, because you sent me that link, and we'll talk about them in a second. Yeah. Let's start with Your Unholy Swill.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's an acoustic AD album out there that if you look hard enough, you can find.
Yeah, it's on Bandcamp.
Is it out? Yeah. Okay. And some of the songs are, you know, I would call them mediocre at best. And I appreciate this guy doing the, you know, the Bloodshot Bill kind of.
It's a guy, it's a solo
soulful
act.
Solo
blues,
you know,
man.
Yeah, with the raspy voice, you know.
All right, here we go.
You know the song I'm gonna tell you right now.
Yeah.
My little old lady.
Little old lady.
She gets
I honestly can't tell what's you and what's him.
When she gets her teeth into you, you're even more finished. It's all over, baby. Ow. Tell you this story. Something like this. Black dress moves in a movie. Grave robbers from outer space. Well, your preliminary trembles on your outstretched arm.
It's almost Tom Waits.
Yeah.
You know, like he's really digging for that. I feel like with a better production, he could probably get a little bit more of the gravelly voice going on.
So that was my favorite line, is the inclination eyebrows to
there. Well, that's her come hither look. That's
to there. Well, he does the to there, and I feel like he's pointing at something.
Yeah, when like she's just like winking, like raising an eyebrow towards the door, towards the bed. Ooh, those clean sheets for me, Glenn.
So the problem you get into with Misfits covers in general is
my mom used fabric softener.
They want to pay tribute to the Misfits by doing it exactly how the Misfits did it a lot of times.
Right.
Especially when, you know, you're...
Yeah, I tend to find that more in the punk stuff than I do, which is why I said that Violent World I didn't really want to talk about, because a lot of bands are stretching for Misfits level.
Some of them do a good job putting their style on things, but...
Right,
but and this guy, I mean, if you didn't know... If I didn't tell you that was a Vampire Misfits song or something, you might not know it.
Right, it might take a couple seconds.
You're gonna be like, wasn't that? I think I just heard the lyrics out of Vampire. You know.
Yeah, and I think we've walked on this ground before that, you know, the bands bring out various aspects of it, but there's always kind of a misfitosity that connects them all. And Glenn's lyrics, I mean, you can just lift them right out and plop them in something else.
Yep.
I have yet to see a hip-hop version of Misfits stuff.
Actually, one of my searches here over the last couple of days is I'm searching for...
various forms of music that have done.
Like, I was looking for, like, dubstep, hip-hop, and it's
when we do Astro Zombies, there are some dubstep Astro Zombies stuff that is really amazing, and so I don't want to ruin anything quite yet.
I did find a Christmas album.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that. All right, here we go. This is Murdergram. This was what I found. And it's that same kind of blues, slightly better production. Well, I mean, a lot better production, but... This is Holland Greco, so it's, I think it's also our first female vocalist for covers. Probably should this queued this up closer to the lyrics. So, I mean, I think she really hits it. She hits all those words just right, you know? I think a lot of it has to be where you're hitting in Danzig's songs. Where you're hitting his syllables matters a lot.
The syllables.
So when you say feline face, there's not many people who can get away with writing that. Well, I should say. A lot of people can write feline face. It's really not very difficult. You just have to know a bunch of letters and how they work. But... hitting that so that it you don't stumble over it. And I think, for me, the Holland Greco version is slightly better than the Earth AD version or the Unholy Swill version because she's hitting those right.
Well, it's definitely produced.
He's bringing it in a different way. I mean, I'm not dissing on Unholy Swill. I don't need your fan letters or non-fan letters. This is Haxons. They're a brand new power duo featuring Ash Costello from New Year's Day on vocals, and Matt Montgomery, a.k.a. Piggy D, the bassist from Rob Zombie.
Yep.
This is a vocal and guitar thing. He really plays up the bass aspect of this guitar, though. It's really amazing. I, for a second, thought he was playing acoustic bass. And they call themselves Goth Pop.
Yep.
And I'm not sure when this episode is going to drop, but they have an album coming out. Surprise! Friday, October 13th. That's right, and it's called Party Monsters. And based on this track alone, I will be ordering it.
Yeah, it sounds pretty interesting.
Even if Vampire doesn't appear on it, I like these kind of duo bands. So here we go.
Stress to the horror kid cemetery.